Turn to John chapter 14. Pastor Brady preached last weekend on John 13. I was speaking at a men's retreat in Florida. So we're on John 14. If this is your first time here, we're doing a series entitled Revealing the Mystery. And the full title will be Through the Eyes of John. We're going through the book of John. I'm taking out a few verses out of each chapter that the Lord speaks to me, and we're talking about them. So we're going to talk about John 14 this week. You know, I was just thinking about something. I just want to kind of let you explain it to you. My wife attends a lot of the services because she just can't stand not being here, and she wants to meet everybody. It's new. It's coming to church and all. And but we were talking about that this week, that when I'm sitting on the platform sometimes, I'll look out and I'll see her, and she's gotten this little habit. She'll blow a kiss at me. You know, she'll kind of like that. Well, it's only natural. When someone does that you know, back. And I did that a few weeks ago, and this whole section kind of went. A great big guy got up and left the service. And I wanted to say, sir, I promise, it's not you. So if you ever see me do that, then just, you know, I don't just get over it. It's okay. It's my wife. It's not you, all right? But I said to her this last week, I said, you got to stop that, you know, in church, because it's getting me in trouble. So, John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, this is one of the most famous passages probably in the Bible. And we're only going to talk about this one passage, because a lot of John 14 I'm going to cover actually later. When we get to John 20, John 20 and John 14 parallel. John 14, I think, has been misunderstood many, many times. It's preached a lot, and I really think it's misunderstood. Jesus said, I'm going away. He's beginning to warn them of what he has to do to redeem them. In essence, what he's saying is, in the state that you're in, you can't dwell with the Father. You cannot have a relationship with the Father right now. But I'm going to take care of it. Don't let your heart be troubled by the events of the next few days. It's okay. Don't worry about it. You're going to get afraid, but don't be afraid. You believe in God. Believe in me. We've got a plan, and you're in trouble right now in your relationship with the Father. He says to him in John 16, before this, you haven't even been able to talk to the Father. You've not asked the Father anything in my name, but from now on, you'll be able to ask in my name. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to prepare it so that you can have a relationship with the Father. You can't have it without me. And Thomas said, well, how can we know the way to the Father? In essence, that's what he's asking. And Jesus said to them, famous quote, I am, it's me. I am the way, the truth. He puts the participle the on every one of these, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and life. And so that's what I want to talk to you about, are those things today, all right? Number one, Jesus is the way. Notice I capitalized it because I just want you to notice that participle. He did not say, I am one of the ways, and he didn't say, I know the way. He said, I am the way. This is one of those famous I am all through the book of John. Several, I am the bread, I am the resurrection life, I am the vine, I am. I am the shepherd, I am the good shepherd, I am the light of the world. I am the way. He is the way, he's not one of the ways, he doesn't just know the way, he is the way. It only comes through him. And I want to just say something right up front here. The gospel is exclusive and inclusive. It is exclusive and inclusive. It excludes every religion in the world, and it includes every person in the world. I want you to understand, every religion is false. Jesus is the way. There is no other way to heaven. And I know that this is not popular to preach, even in churches. Even in churches that believe this, it's not popular to preach because there's such a move in our society. How can you be that exclusive? How can you say that there's only one way to heaven? And what is amazing to me is that even many believers are buying that line. But Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the only way. I'm the only way. You're not going to get there any other way. No one comes to the Father through good works. No one comes through Islam. No one comes through other religions. No one gets to the Father except through me. I'm the only way. And we must understand that, and we must believe that. And we must not allow any other thinking to come into our thoughts. See, we're actually thinking the wrong way. Here's what we're thinking. How can there only be one way? Instead of thinking, how can there only be one way, we should be thinking, how can there be any way to get to heaven? The same thing Thomas asked. We don't know the way. You're going to have to help us. Jesus is the way. Acts 4, verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name, we sang it tonight, under heaven given among men by which we must be, not should be, or even can be, but must be saved. 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us all. Tolerance. Listen to me carefully. There is a plan of the enemy against our generation, and most of the younger generation is being affected by it. And it's called tolerance. I want to tell you something. Tolerance is a false religion that will send you to hell. Tolerance says that I have to accept someone else's belief. Now listen to me. I accept the person, but I'm not accepting a belief, a system, or a sin, or a lifestyle that will send someone to hell. I will not accept it. Homosexuality is a sin. It doesn't matter what the Massachusetts court says. It doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says. It matters what the eternal Supreme Court says. And the eternal Supreme Court says that homosexuality is a sin. And it's no worse than any other sin. It's not worse than any other sin. Your sin is just as filthy. My sin is just as filthy as homosexuality. But I will not stand for this. I will not accept it as an alternative lifestyle. It is the lifestyle that will send people to hell. People will scream from hell one day, why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you tell me? Or they'll shout from heaven, thank God that a church in South Lake preached the truth. And that's what we need to do. We need to stand up and say what is right. I was talking with a homosexual one time, and he said to me, I was born this way. Here's what I said to him. I agree. I agree with you. He said, I can't believe. He said, you agree? I said, yes. He said, you're the first Christian that said that. I said, I believe you were born that way. That's why you need to be born again. You were born that way. You were born a sinner. And here's what I said to him. I was born wrong, too. I was born perverse. Before I met the Lord, I was a very immoral person. Now, my sin took on a different perversion than your sin did, but it was still sin. You were born that way, but you can be born again. You can be born again a perfect child of God. Not that we are perfect in all of our acts, but because Jesus has declared righteousness on us by His grace and by His blood. Abortion is wrong. It is wrong in the first trimester. It is always wrong. It is a lie. Just like you heard that young man talking on that video. His mother was raped. James Robinson's mother was raped. She went to a doctor to try to get an abortion. It was illegal then. She went to a doctor. The doctor said, I won't do it. Thank God she didn't do it. Thank God the doctor didn't do it. Abortion is wrong, but here, let me just say something to you. We've got to love the people. We have to love the people because the best thing that can happen to a woman that's had an abortion is to get saved so she can spend eternity with that child that Satan stole from her. Took from her on this earth. Islam is a false religion. It is not another way to heaven. It is a false religion. All you've got to do is compare the claims of Mohammed with the claims of Christ. They're exactly opposite. He took part of the claims of Christ, and that's what every false religion does. But if you read the Quran, here's a statement right out of the Quran. Every Christian and every Jew should be tortured to death. Here's what Jesus said. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Spitefully use you. Bless those who curse you. It's totally opposite. And there are a lot of sincere Muslims. They are very sincere people. Many of them are. But the truth is, Jesus is the way. Muhammad said he knew the way. Exactly. He said, I know the way. Jesus didn't say, I know the way. He said, I am the way. I am the way. I am the way to the Father. And Jesus is the best example. He is the best example of being tolerant of the person, but not of the sin. Let me show you a scripture. Mark 2:15 says, "Now it happened as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him." Jesus was so wonderful at talking with sinners, and yet he preached against sin. Isn't it amazing? Sinners like to be around him. And yet he preached against sin. Why? You know why? Because they knew that he loved them. Pastor Brady said it last week. That's the only way the world is going to know. The only way the world's going to know we're his disciples, if we love one another, if we have love. If we have love. I'll be tolerant of the person, but not the belief. Because the belief is going to send them to hell. You understand what I'm saying? If I really love the person, I'm not going to tolerate the belief. I'm going to say to them, in love, you are headed over a cliff. You are going the wrong way. And allow the Holy Spirit to work on their heart. You know, the very people who are preaching tolerance are not tolerant in my belief. The only belief that they will not tolerate is that Jesus is the only way. That's the one belief they won't tolerate. And they need to understand he is the only way. Satan is a liar and a deceiver. And if you were Satan and you were trying to get people into hell and there was only one way, wouldn't you make up a theory that there were many ways? Wouldn't you tell people, no, there's not one way. There are many ways. It came straight from Satan himself. Here's the second thing. He is the truth. He is the truth. Again, I want to emphasize the participle the. Now I want to say some things about truth. Truth is not relative. Truth is absolute. You know what I mean by relative? Truth is not changing. Truth does not change. Truth is not evolving, contrary to what scientists are telling us. Truth does not evolve. Truth does not change. Truth is constant. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Truth is always the same. And by the way, his name is Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Truth is not evolving. See, the relativist says that truth is relative. It is relative. Here's what else the relative says. There are no rights and no wrongs. Well, I want to tell you something. Murder's wrong. Hitler was wrong. That's wrong. To say there are no rights, there's no right and there's no wrong. There's only right and left. It's being taught in our schools today. There's no right and there's no wrong. It's only your individual conscience. Here's what the relative says. You say, what dictates morality? Here's what they say. Individual conscience. Individual conscience cannot dictate morality because there are people who are individually convicted that stealing is not wrong. They don't believe it's wrong. You have to have an absolute. And that absolute is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the absolute that never changes. And the only thing that a relativist is absolutely certain about is that there are no absolutes. And that he's absolutely certain. He's the biggest absolutist that there is. Because he says there's no absolutes. Well, there are absolutes. And Jesus preached those absolutes. People will go to hell if we don't preach truth. Jesus is the truth. Let me tell you a few things about him. And I added this, so it's not in your sermon notes, so you may want to write it down, and I'll give you a few things on it in a moment. Jesus was the declaration, the definition, and the demonstration of truth. Let me say that again. He was the declaration, he was the definition, and he was the demonstration of truth. When he walked on this earth, he declared it everywhere he went, he defined it in everything he did, and he demonstrated it to every person he met. And he wants us to do the exact same thing. Now, here, if you want to write, you may want to write these down. Number one, he desires that we declare truth. He desires that we declare truth. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things in him who is the head of Christ. He wants us to speak the truth to people, but in love. The reason sinners love to be around him is because he did it in love. On this men's retreat that I was on last week, They after one of the sessions, they wrote questions on a card, and we had a question and answer session. And they asked me these questions with all these men. And one of the questions, here's one of the questions. What is the difference between judgmentalism, between being judgmental and righteous judgment? What is the difference between righteous judgment and being judgmental? I said, that's easy. That's an easy question. I can tell you that answer in one word, love. That's the difference. If you love the person that you're speaking to, that's righteous judgment. If you don't love them, that's being judgmental. That's being critical. See, we don't need to have an intolerant spirit toward people. We do toward beliefs that send people to hell, but not toward people. We need to love people, and we need to speak the truth in love. We need to tell them, this is what the Bible says. We don't need to call fire down from heaven on someone that disagrees with us. You know, the woman who was Roe versus Wade was about has become a believer. She didn't become a believer because someone debated her out of her belief. She became a believer because someone spoke the truth in love to her. And then she got up on national television and said, abortion's wrong. That's the way you do it. You don't put someone down and try to debate them intellectually. You show them Jesus, and Jesus will change their heart. Speak the truth in love. If you're going to speak to someone, it's got to be in love. Let me give you a little statement here. Maybe you've heard this. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Let me say that again. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We have to speak the truth in love. Here's the second thing. He desires that we define truth. This is all under truth, our second point. This is under truth. He desires that we define truth. Now, if you still have your Bibles open, John 14, look down to verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, in other words, the truth that I'm presenting to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. The works define the words. Let me say it again. The works define the words. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. And then he says this, I want you to do the same thing. Watch this. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. The works that Jesus did defined the words that he preached. The works that he did defined the words that he preached. The way that he preached, he declared truth, but he defined it because he touched people. He ministered to people everywhere he went. What are the works that you're doing declaring? That was a sobering question. The works Jesus did define truth. What are the works that you're doing defining? And here's the third thing. He desires that we demonstrate truth. 1 Corinthians 2:4, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Everywhere he went, he demonstrated the truth. He didn't just declare it. He didn't just define it. He demonstrated it everywhere he went. And that's the problem with the church today. The church has lost the demonstration of the power of God. The reason that so many people got saved in the book of Acts is because the church had the power of God to go along with the message. But we can get it back. You know why? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. We can repent, just like we're going to do this next Saturday at the call. We can say, God, we need you. Our persuasive words aren't doing it. Our human wisdom isn't doing it. But the demonstration of power could do it. And we need it. And here's the last thing about Jesus. He is the life. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. This is one of the central themes in the book of John. If you remember, John chapter 1 gave us the theme of the whole book of John. Here's what John chapter 1 told us. Jesus is Lord, he is light, and he is life. He is Lord, he is light, and he is life. And I told you those three things will run through the whole book. Now I want you to listen to what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Remember what I told you is the theme of the whole book of John? He is Lord, he is light, and he is life. He is Lord is declaring he's the way. The reason he's the way is because he's God. Then he said, the book of John tells us he is light. The reason that the book of John tells us he is light is because he is truth. There's no light, there's no revelation without him because he's truth. And then he's life. These run all through. He is the creator and sustainer of the universe. He is the creator and sustainer of the universe. What is it that keeps us perfectly in orbit around the sun? It's not just that it's an amazing universal coincidence that we stay the exact distance from the sun to sustain life. We stay the exact distance that we need to. If we move just a little bit, we will either freeze to death or we'll burn up. And if you don't believe that, just visit Canada in the winter or South Texas in the summer. If the earth moves just a little bit, some people are going to fry and some people are going to freeze. My wife and I, Debbie and I, went to Canada one time in November, and I spoke at a pastor's conference up there. And when we got off the plane, it was 8 degrees below zero. -8 Fahrenheit. Okay, -8. And they said to me, I hope you brought some warm clothes because a cold front is coming. I said, I've got news for you. It's here. They said, we've got news for you. It's not. It's coming. And it did come. It got down to 60 below zero. I said to them, you ever want me to come back? July. No way will I ever go back. We couldn't get warm. We could not get warm. They had pastors from Texas before speak up there. So they got us a hotel room with a hot tub in it. We sat in the hot tub all the time. The whole time we were there. We watched TV from the hot tub. I studied from the hot tub. We ate dinner in the hot tub. I'm telling you, if the earth moves just a little, they're gone. It's cold. Jesus is the creator and the sustainer of all life. And he didn't just come so that we could have abundant life. I know he came so we could have abundant life, but he didn't just come so we could have abundant life. He came so we could have life. That's what John 10 says. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Listen to me. Without him, there's no life. No life. God created Adam and Eve, and they weren't alive until he breathed. Genesis 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Adam and Eve had all the right parts, but no life until God breathed in them. And then this is what God said to them. If you walk away from me, you're going to die. They did walk away. You say they didn't die. Yes, they did. They died in their spirits. Their spirits died. And every person since Adam and Eve has been born with a dead spirit. You were born with a dead spirit. You weren't alive, you were just existing before you met Christ. And I'll tell you what, if you remember it, I remember what it was like before I met Jesus, and it was horrible. It was not life, it was hell. It was as close to hell on this earth as you'll ever get without him. And when I got saved in a motel room, I'll tell you, I came alive for the first time. That's what he's talking about. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Before Jesus, you were dead. No life. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, you don't know what living is. And it's wonderful, by the way. It's wonderful. He is the life. There's no life apart from him. And let me tell you what he's doing. From John 14 till the end of the book, here's what he's beginning to do. He's saying to him, guys, let me prepare you. Let me prepare you for what's about to happen. Don't be troubled, because you're going to get real scared. Because something's about to happen. I've got to go away. I've got to take care of things, because you cannot have a relationship with the Father. But I'm going to go take care of it. And here's what they begin to say. Lord, where are you going to go? And here's what the answer begins over the next few chapters. Here's the answer. Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit, John 12 said. Here's what Jesus is saying. You're dead. I'm alive. I'm life. You're dead. You want to be alive? There's only one way. The one who is alive has to die for you. That's the only way. They didn't understand what he was saying. But he was telling them, and we understand it now. You're dead. I'm life. I'm going to die so that you can live. You're separated from the Father. I've never been separated from the Father. I'm going to be separated from the Father for the first time so that you can be reunited with the Father. I'm going to die so you can live. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life.